This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, Season 6, Episode 32. It's presented by Hooters. They have been our presenting sponsor since Season 2 of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. I appreciate everything Hooters does for me, as well as fantasy football players. Also, a shout-out to Bill Curry Ford, was just in the dealership the other day talking fantasy football to General Manager Sean Sullivan. Sean Sullivan not only plays in one of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast leagues, but he writes the checks to the winners of each Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast league. Thank you, Sean Sullivan, at Bill Curry Ford. Email, exclusive for podcast listeners. I used to answer emails from anybody. Now, you only know to email me if you are a podcast listener, and I know you're a podcast listener. ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com, ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. Let's jump right into Sunday and Monday games for week 4 and just what I'm looking for, what stands out to me based on what has happened the first 3 weeks, kind of where we are with everything. I'm recording this on Thursday morning. I'm obviously going to gloss over the Jacksonville-Cincinnati game because I don't believe this podcast will post until after that game is complete. So let's just move on to 1 o'clock action on Sunday. I see Washington at Atlanta. This game actually opened with Atlanta as a near field goal favorite. It has gone through the number, and now Washington is favored with a relatively high total. So there's some fantasy value here from the Redskins standpoint. I was a victim in the foundation last week of the long catch and run. The only pass caught by Antonio Gibson last week turned into a lengthy touchdown. And my opponent, Bill Eisman, who plays in my Todd Wright Tour golf tournaments, is now 3-0 with his Minnesota State Screaming Eagles. He's a former podcast league champion, now trying to win in the foundation league in 2021. He's 3-0, beat me for my first loss last week because of that play. And as a result, Gibson was a top 10 running back in my 21st century standard scoring settings last week. McLaurin didn't hit the board. Heinicke did as quarterback for Washington. That's a guy who's worth watching once you get into the bye weeks with your quarterbacks, or if you prefer to roster a backup quarterback. But you stick with McLaurin, or as Matthew Berry calls him, McScorin, and certainly Gibson, and just keep an eye on Heinicke as sort of a fallback option if you are in a need quarterback situation once the bye weeks hit or going forward. The J.D. McKissic spike in week 2 went back down in week 3. I really only view him as a desperation season-long plug-and-play, more of a daily play for fantasy purposes. From the Falcons' standpoint, did anything from Atlanta hit the board with their Week 3 game? Nothing really stood out positively. It's just a bad football team. They're not even really playing fantasy football at this point. Yeah, you're sticking with Ridley. You know who has some value, and I even roster him in one of my leagues, is Cordarrelle Patterson. Yahoo allows you to play him at running back or wide receiver. He's a red zone guy, but he's going to touch the football. So that's what stands out to me about Washington-Atlanta. Detroit-Chicago, there's been some money on Detroit to bet this down from 5 to 3, but it's a low total. The Justin Fields debut wasn't a good one. There was really nothing from a fantasy standpoint last week that was exciting for Chicago. Detroit T.J. Hockenson was held to 2 catches as the Ravens defense really took him away from Jared Goff. It was not a big game for Goff. DeAndre Swift did touch the ball 21 times. I had him as my RB 9 last week. So that's what stands out from Lions and Bears. Tennessee and the Jets. Tennessee is a 7-point favorite at the Jets. The total has really come down on this one from 48 to 44 and a half. Nothing stands out to me from the Jets standpoint. Fantasy-wise, Tennessee, back-to-back workhorse weeks for Derrick Henry. He was RB11 in my settings last week, only because he didn't score. He had 3 touchdowns the previous week, but he touched the ball 31 times. Let's see. You have the A.J. Brown injury. Julio Jones has been okay. Yeah, you keep starting him. Tannehill was my QB 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 last week. I saw in some leagues people cutting Tannehill. Look, he's going to hand off a lot to Derrick Henry. It's just the way it's going to be. But he has the ability to make explosive plays in the passing game. So I think Tannehill does have some value. I don't consider him a QB1, but I was surprised some people week 3 were already cutting him. To me, that's operator error. You shouldn't have even drafted him if you're cutting him after week 3. Duh, he was still going to hand the ball to Derrick Henry 30 times a game. Cleveland, Minnesota. Browns are a modest favorite. The total is over 50, so plenty of fantasy value here. There's my guy, Kareem Hunt, RB2 last week, 16 touches. Chubb and Hunt have the Browns value for me in this game. I still see nothing to show any value from the Browns quarterbacks, wide receivers, or tight ends. Minnesota, just proving my tight end point, Tyler Conklin with his 7 touches was the only tight end in the overall top 61 last week before the Monday night game and Dalton Schultz getting in the end zone twice for the Cowboys. That's how poorly tight ends are producing this year. Again, big game for Justin Jefferson last week, 9 touches, a touchdown, 17.8 points in my 21st century standard scoring settings. He was my wide receiver 7. Thielen has value. People still picking up KJ Osborne. I get that. Kirk Cousins was QB6 last week at 22.9, and Alexander Mattison, keep checking status on Cook as it relates to Madison. Madison had 32 touches, was my RB7 for 17.1 points. Colts at Dolphins, the Jacoby Brissett Bowl. Colts look awful. This Carson Wentz thing isn't working. Colts are a 2-point underdog at Miami. Yuck from a fantasy standpoint. I mean, Jacoby Brissett, did he make top 10 in quarterbacks last week? He did. He was QB10. Just a notch ahead of Dak and Lamar Jackson. How about that? In the failed comeback against the Raiders. I don't see any real reason to start. I guess you're still sticking with Taylor, but you drafted him to be an RB1. Your expectations are now more RB2 on Taylor. Naeem Hines getting involved there. I guess they're going to trade Marlon Mack. But just to fantasy, Pascal has had his share of touches. He's dominated for the Colts. But just there's nothing here that's going to win you your week on the Colts or the Dolphins. Carolina-Dallas, this total is 50.5. From Carolina's standpoint, it's Sam Darnold, who was QB5 last week, 2 rushing touchdowns. I contend the biggest beneficiary of McCaffrey being out might be Darnold. Not only throwing more, but using his legs more near the goal line. He had 2 rushing touchdowns last week, has 3 this year. I know Chuba Hubbard has been a big pickup for you guys. I get it, but Darnold might be more significant. DJ Moore's been excellent. I own him in one of my leagues. Wish I owned him in both. He's really the only pass catcher of significance for Carolina. From a Cowboys standpoint, different guys each week. You know, week 1, big numbers for Lamb and Cooper. Week 2, it was Dak and Pollard. Pollard is involved. I still don't know if he's a fantasy starter yet. You can flex him. you know, if you feel good about it. But Zeke was RB1 last week. 20 touches, 23.6 points. And, of course, Dalton Schultz was tight end 1 last week with 20 points. Giants and New Orleans, low total of 42. Not much happening from the Giants' standpoint. They got a bunch of receivers banged up. Saquon Barkley, if you drafted him and you're probably like, wow, I can't believe I got him this low. Well, you see what he's not producing in fantasy. And he's involved. It's just a horrible offensive line. And it's kind of a lame duck team. Going to have a whole new look front office, probably coaching staff, maybe quarterback next year. From the Saints standpoint, Alvin Kamara touched the ball 27 times last week, RB5. He's paying off with the first-round draft pick you used on him. No other Saints pass catcher stands out. And other than week one, Jameis Winston has not been fantasy worthy as a quarterback. Kansas City at Philadelphia is a big number on this. The total is 54.5. Chiefs favored by 7. Let's start with the home team off the short week. Yeah, if you drafted Jalen Hurts to be your QB1, you're staying with him. I'd be ready to make a switch at some point. As it relates to Hurts, it just feels like you can do better, even though he's a dual threat. Eagles only ran three running plays against the Cowboys. So I question the value of Miles Sanders. If you drafted him to be your RB2, you're questioning it as well. From a pass catching standpoint, I guess Devontae Smith, you know, they got their tight ends more involved last week with Goddard and Ertz, but it's still not much. From Kansas City standpoint, you play the hits. Two bad weeks in a row for Tyreek Hill. This is a good bounce back spot against that Eagles secondary. You're playing Kelsey, you're playing Mahomes. Clyde Edwards-Helaire coming off a 100-yard game. This is a sell-high week on Clyde Edwards-Helaire. If you're going to move him, if you can find someone to give you a better running back, a more consistent running back, a better red zone running back, now's the time to do so. Texans at Bills. Bills, holy cow. Bills are favored by 16.5, college line. The total is 47. Bills got a lot out of Emmanuel Sanders last week. I'm keeping an eye on that because Stephon Diggs isn't getting in the end zone. Josh Allen had a big bounce back week last week. Moss continues to be a factor in the backfield. This Bills team is interesting from a fantasy standpoint. Interesting isn't necessarily good for those of you who made big investments in Diggs. But if you made the big investment in Allen as your QB1, drafting him maybe in the second round or third round, you liked what you saw last week. From Houston's standpoint, there's nothing to talk about. Brandon Cooks, yeah. You want to flex Brandon Cooks as a wide receiver, you go ahead. I'm okay with that. Arizona and the Rams, highest total of the week, 55. As a DeAndre Hopkins owner, I hope it's just the rib injury that's been holding Hopkins back the last 2 weeks after he was dominant week one. I'd like to see him bounce back this week. Arizona just has a lot of guys. And it changes week to week. You know, Kirk had some good weeks early. A.J. Green starting to come on a little bit. They have the rookie. Kyler Murray had the one rushing touchdown. James Conner touched the ball 12 times. He got in the end zone last week. He wears number 6 now. That looks odd to me. James Conner was RB6 last week for Arizona. I don't think that's sustainable. From the Rams standpoint, Cooper Kupp. Is the best wide receiver in fantasy football through 3 weeks. 12 touches last week. He was wide receiver 2 behind Mike Williams. Good first week as a starter for Sony Michel against a tough run defense. Depending on the status of Daryl Henderson, encouraging sign for Sony Michel. I think I'm even going to play him this week in one of my leagues, unless Henderson gets a clean bill of health and is clearly going to be named the starter. Stafford was QB3 last week. Seattle, San Francisco, this has a 52.5 point total with San Francisco favored by 3. San Francisco is messy. You know, you watched it in that Monday night game. They're trying to get Kittle more involved. So for those of you that invested in Kittle, you like that, but you don't like the numbers to this point. It's probably going to happen, though. He's their best pass catcher. Debo remains their top wide receiver, but I'm not sure he's going to be giving you double-digit points week to week. From a running back standpoint, Trey Sermon had an okay game. For his first real NFL action, for his first game as a starter, he was okay. He looked tentative. It seems if Eli Mitchell is healthy, I would expect the Niners to get Eli Mitchell more involved. He appears to be the best one they have. And from the Seattle standpoint, DK Metcalf had his best week. He was my wide receiver 8 last week with 16.7 points and 6 touches. As Lockett dropped off, Lockett was our sell high candidate last week. And did Chris Carson make? No, he didn't. Chris Carson didn't make top 12 in running back last week. But for you Chris Carson owners, you know that comes with the territory. 1 week up, seemingly 2 weeks down. Baltimore, Denver, Lamar Jackson remains banged up. He had 2 or 3 touchdowns dropped by Hollywood Brown last week. Jackson was outside the top 10 in running back points. Murray led the backfield in touches. It didn't translate to any fantasy value. It was all Justin Tucker and Lamar Jackson last week for the Ravens. Denver is playing very well. From a fantasy standpoint, there's no real pattern here. You know, you had Gordon do a lot week one. He was like RB5 week one. Patrick's been a hot waiver pickup. Judy is hurt. Bridgewater is not really a fantasy quarterback. So from a fantasy standpoint, I don't have much to give you here to recommend as it relates to Denver. But perhaps some patterns will emerge the more Bridgewater plays with these guys, especially if they keep winning. They are actually favored at home over the Ravens this week. Pittsburgh, Green Bay, just 3 games to go. Pittsburgh, Green Bay. Pittsburgh's awful. But Najee Harris touched the ball a ton in week 3. I think he had 14 carries and he had 14 receptions and still didn't make my top 12 running backs. What does that tell you? Ben just looks old back there for the Steelers. Some injuries at wide receiver. I can't give you much. You're still playing Harris this week, and you're probably playing Claypool this week. Deontay is banged up. Right, but not much else. Green Bay, Davante Adams is due for an explosion because Rodgers has, I think, thrown at him over 30 times the last 2 weeks. Adams has 1 touchdown, but he was wide receiver 4 last week. Pittsburgh's defense is the only thing they have going for them, but an Adams explosion seems to be coming. Aaron Jones was RB12 last week, still touched the ball 21 times after his big Monday nighter the previous week. Tampa Bay, New England. Talked about this in the Bucks Bulletin. I'll leave it at that. Find the Bucks Bulletin, which is a spinoff of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, for all my comments on that game. And finally, Raiders Chargers was talking about this on VSiN with Gil Alexander earlier today. The Raiders are undefeated and very frustrating because they're not providing any fantasy clarity. Those that drafted Josh Jacobs have gotten 1 week out of 3. Those who drafted Darren Waller have gotten 1 week out of 3. You go to pick up Henry Ruggs and then the next week Renfro. is the leading fantasy guy. You go to pick up Drake, and then Peyton Barber is getting 26 touches. Carr is not putting up QB1 numbers as a fantasy quarterback, yet the Raiders are winning. I guess you could say Daniel Carlson, their kicker, is their best and most consistent fantasy player. From the Chargers standpoint, Herbert was QB2 last week, only behind Josh Allen. Mike Williams continues to be a very pleasant and consistent surprise through the first 3 weeks. Keenan Allen's numbers haven't been as high as Allen owners would like, but I'd say stay patient there. And Austin Eckler did have a good week 3. He was RB8 with 17 touches of the football. Any questions you have, send them to me at ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com, ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. Thanks for listening to the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast presented by Hooters.